Good evening. I have dusted off the outline from the first Devo I've ever done that I ever did here. Not because I couldn't come up with a new idea, but because it's been 7 years, I wanted to see what had changed. There are people who weren't here 7 years ago. If you can believe it, we had technical difficulties that night, and it didn't get recorded, so my mom never got to hear it. Debbie didn't get to hear it because she was at the hospital that night with Bill. And so I thought I would see what a little grayer hair would do for this lesson that I had. I don't expect that anybody who was here 7 years ago would remember anything I said 7 seconds ago. And it's not because I don't trust your memory, it's just that it's not that memorable. But I do know that if you weren't here 7 years ago, you definitely hadn't heard it. When I was growing up, we didn't hear "I love you" all that often. And, you know, looking back, it was almost never. But it wasn't that we weren't loved, because, you know, actions speak louder than words, and we knew that our parents loved us. I know my siblings loved me. I loved them. We would do anything for each other. So while we didn't hear it, we definitely knew it. I had some friends who told them they were loved by buying them the coolest things. I remember this one kid had a bike with shock absorbers on the back that weren't really good for anything other than sitting in the driveway and bouncing up and down on them. But those kids spent a lot of time with us at other people's houses. So they heard they were loved, but they were never quite sure whether or not they were. And finally, I had this friend who, there was five kids. I think it was five kids. I had that kid in 84. And you knew that they loved each other. They told each other all the time. Their actions said that they loved each other. And you definitely knew when you saw the Mitchells that that was a family that was brimming over with love. So when it comes to love, you can know it and not hear it, as I did. You can hear it and not know it, or you can hear it and know it. And this is what I said 7 years ago, that I hope that you know that I love you by the things that I try to accomplish here. But I'm telling you that if you've known me for 18 years or if I just met you tonight, that I love you. When I met my wife at a picnic, I chose to ask her out on a date, even though she told me it wasn't going to matter because she was moving to North Carolina. I got to know her, and then I loved her. And I wanted to marry her. So, as usually happens, there's counseling that goes, premarital counseling. And we went to the premarital counseling, and the preacher gave me what I thought was an opinion question. He said, "What does love mean to you?" And I said, "I'm going to nail this, because there is no wrong answer as far as I know." So I told him what love meant to me, what she meant to me, what our lives were going to mean to each other. And when I was finished, he slammed his hand down on the table, told me I was wrong, which I didn't think I could get an opinion question wrong, and he slid this sheet of paper toward me, and what was on that paper was 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away." And we know how verse 13 concludes this chapter, "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." So I'm going to spend the next few minutes explaining to you why I love this congregation, because when we moved here from Florida, we chose this place, we got to know the members, and we loved you and wanted to be a part of it and became members here, which is the same for anybody who has moved here or who has obeyed the gospel in the past 18 years since we've been here. They are part of that family. So the first thing is that love is commanded in Scripture, John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you search the New King James, you see the exact phrase, love one another, 12 times. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, which is similar to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, let nothing be done out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in loneliness of heart, esteem others higher than yourself, looking out not only for your own interests, but for the interests of others. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law, Romans 13:8. Ephesians 4:1-3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Jesus also instructs us to love our enemies. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, verses 43-45. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. There are people in this world who would hate us for our faith. They would hate us for the country in which we live. They would hate us for our whatever race that we are. So, if Jesus is telling me I need to love these people, how much more should I love you who are my brothers and sisters in Christ? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. And everything up to this point means that love takes precedence over all else, that our petty differences are insignificant when weighed in the balance of the necessity for unity in the church. And in the end, it is not about who is right or who thinks they are right, but it is who is right with God. Another reason is that you matter to Jesus. Luke chapter 15, verses 4-7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now, I looked at the sign 7 years ago. The numbers were different, but this time the Sunday morning service was 160. Sunday night was 110. But based on this, if we had 100 in the morning and 99 at night, the one that was missing would matter. We should be concerned with where that one is. And if I were that one, would someone call me? Or send me a card or take me aside and say, you know, I've noticed that pew where you normally sit is empty. Well, I know the answer to that because Eddie did that for me one time when we were struggling with getting here on Wednesday nights. He told me on a Sunday, you know, it hurts me when I see that pew empty where the Vanderwins usually are. And I know I'm guilty of this. And I think a lot of us think, if you look around the room tonight, the people who are here tonight will be here Sunday morning and Sunday night, and that these people need a little less attention than the people who are habitually not here. But we all need to know that we're loved. We all need to know that someone has noticed that we are absent. Knowing that we are loved comforts us, but hearing we are loved reassures us. Now, over the past 7 years, there's been times when I would say to my girls, guess who's doing the Devo Wednesday? And one of them would say, is it love, family, or unity? And if you give that some thought, if you end with an invitation, you are going to focus on the love God had for us and a plea for people to become a part of this family and be united into one doctrine. But I got to thinking about how I tend to focus on those three topics, love in particular, and I had never given it much thought until I decided to do this lesson over again. And it dawned on me, you know, you hear that the person who's teaching the class, preaching the lesson, doing the diva, the primary audience is the person speaking, because they should not be up here telling you what you need to do when they don't think that they themselves need to work on it. And so for a lot of my life, I felt unworthy of being loved. I got a lot of attention in high school being one of the captains of the football team. I didn't think that I deserved that. I just always felt unworthy of anyone's attention. But then when you think about God and His love for us and how He created us in His image, He loves you and He loves me, which makes us worthy of the love of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are not worthy of His salvation, but He did see fit to send His only Son as a means for that redemption, that we could have a home in heaven with Him one day. That ultimate sacrifice that God made demonstrates just how much He loves us. To be a part of that love, you must be a part of His church. You must hear the gospel, believe what you were taught. You must repent and turn away from the way that you were before you learned that gospel. You must confess Jesus as Lord before men. And you must be immersed for the remission of your sin, and you will be added to the church. And you will be part of that family and a part of that love and a part of that unity under one doctrine and one church. If you're here tonight and you have done those things and you've taken those steps, but you have found that you are slipping away, or you need the encouragement of this body of believers to hug you, to pray for you, and to love on you, to let you know that you matter and that you are worthy of our love, won't you come as we stand and sing?